That was beautiful. Thank you so much. You said it all. An environmentalist dies and reports to the pearly gates. St. Peter checks his dossier and says, "Ah, you're an environmentalist. You're in the wrong place." Thinking that heaven could never make an error, the environmentalist reports to the gates of hell and is let in. Pretty soon, the environmentalist gets dissatisfied with the environment in hell and starts implementing eco-friendly improvements. After a while, global warming, air, and water pollution are under control. The landscape is covered with grass and plants, the food is organic, and the people are happy. The environmentalist has become a pretty popular guy in hell. One day, God calls Satan up on the telephone and says with a sneer, "So, how's it going down there in hell?" Satan replies, "Hey, things are going great. We've clean air and water, the temperature is better, and the food tastes better, and there's no telling what this environmentalist is going to fix next." God replies, "What? You've got an environmentalist? That's a mistake. He should never have gotten down there. Send him up here." Satan says, "No way. I like having an environmentalist on the staff, and I'm keeping him." God says, "Send him back up here or I'll sue." Satan laughs uproariously and answers, "Yeah, right. And just where are you going to get a lawyer in heaven?" It feels like I keep bashing the lawyers and I don't, it's just the jokes that are written. I really honestly don't have anything against lawyers. My father was a lawyer, my son might become one, you know, it's really not a personal thing. It's just a joke. But I think it's true about the environmentalists helping out hell. Our sacred cinema text today is the animated movie WALL-E, so named for the only lonely little robot that is still left on the earth, fulfilling his directive, which is to clean up all the trash that humans have left on the earth, while the humans go and live a luxury life on a spaceship, sitting in their lazy boy chairs, hovercrafts, and sitting in front of their screens all day and drinking big gulp drinks, sodas, out of plastic, big giant plastic cups, and don't even see each other. And they're expecting that it's an estimated going to be 5 years before it's going to take, before the inhabitants can return to the world again. The year that they left was 2110. And now we open at the year 2810, 700 years later. Here are the opening scenes of the movie in which we see the state of the world we humans have created.
Shine and full of sparkle. Close your eyes and see it. Listen, Barnaby. Listen, Barnaby. Put on your Sunday clothes. There's lots of world out there. Get out the brilliantine and dime cigars. We're gonna find adventure in bright as the stars. Put on your Sunday clothes, we're gonna ride through town in one of those new horse-drawn open cars. We'll see the shows at Delmonico's and we'll close the town in a whirl.
Much garbage in your face? There's plenty of space out in space. B&L Starliners leaving each day. We'll clean up the mess while you're away. The jewel of the B&L fleet, the Axiom. Spend your five-year cruise in style, waited on 24 hours a day by our fully automated crew, while your captain and autopilot chart a course for non-stop entertainment, fine dining, and with our all-access hover chairs, even Grandma can join the fun. There's no need to walk. The Axiom, putting the star in Executive Starliner.
Because at B&L, space is the final frontier!
Just
When we watch this movie clip, we realize that the concept of humans burying ourselves in so much trash to the degree that we have made Earth uninhabitable is not out of the realm of possibility. In fact, it is probably the inevitable outcome if we don't address the consequences of our industrial, technological, consumeristic lifestyle. When plastics were first created out of petroleum in the 1940s, we were thrilled because it meant we moved from a world of wood and glass and metal to a world of indestructible plastic. And we created whole economies out of these inventions. In fact, there are now over 6,000 things made of petroleum products that we have become completely dependent on, things that will never break down. I have a list from the 6,000 that I thought would be interesting. Vitamin capsules, dentures, shampoo, antifreeze, all clothing. Anyone here not wear clothing? Any synthetic clothing. Vaporizers, heart valves, glasses, glue, mops, purses, floor wax, dishwashers, food preservatives, antihistamines, cortisone, life jackets, toilet seats. Anybody not have a toilet seat? I know they don't have them in Cuba. Luggage, yarn, football helmets, toothbrushes, toothpaste, CDs, crayons, fishing rods, golf bags, antiseptics, shoe polish, clothesline, house paint, shower curtains, safety glasses, eyeglasses, cameras, bandages, hair curlers, deodorant, sweaters, upholstery, ballpoint pens, artificial limbs, credit cards. Anybody not have one of those? Garden hose, guitar strings, hearing aids, nail polish. It's things like all of our furniture with upholstery, all of our clothing, all of our appliances, like it's all of it. Almost everything is made out of plastic. Makeup, pantyhose, phones, computers. We didn't stop to think that creating everything from plastic would mean that we would create a huge problem of trash that we couldn't dispose of. So I think before we start pointing fingers at the big bad oil and gas industry in Alberta that is under attack, before we start feeling self-righteous when we sign petitions or protest pipelines coming into BC, and environmentalist groups and supporters feel superior to industry or Indigenous peoples feel superior to non-native culture, we need to realize that there are only a handful of tribes living without human contact in jungles or on islands that are not complicit with the system we have created. Every human being on this planet is supported by an entire economy. We have created economies based on petroleum products and bought into our lifestyles. And so we need to find solutions together. Right now, shutting down our own Canadian oil and gas company in Alberta will only cripple our Canadian economy and make us more vulnerable to the five major oil and gas producers in the world, because we need plastic. Saudi Arabia, Russia, China, Iran, and the US are the top five oil producers, petroleum producers, who have far less regulations, who will have to transport all their products across the seas to us, because we have created a petroleum dependent society. It's overwhelming, isn't it? It's overwhelming. So the worst thing we can do is to point fingers at the big bad oil and gas companies and consider ourselves not involved or free of everything we've created. I don't know if any of us could live without all the things that I just mentioned. I think there are very few people that have gone off the grid. And even then, it's really hard work. But I think there is hope. We need corporations and environmentalists who are employed by corporations. Every oil and gas industry in Alberta that I know of has a whole department of environmentalists working on solutions. So we need big corporations, we need environmentalists, we need business people, we need young creative people, we need wise seniors, we need Indigenous people and non-Native people to sit down together and recreate ourselves, to find solutions to the problems we have all helped to create and that we all support. None of us are not completely dependent on products made of petroleum. And you might ask, well, Jennifer, this is a real downer. Why are we talking about this in church? Why does the green team annoy everyone by making announcements and insisting on low flush toilets in the church and reminding us to carpool here, to not support plastic water bottles and use only LED lights? Why? Because our faith reminds us that God has asked we humans to be caretakers of the earth. There are over 100 scriptural passages in the Bible reminding us that to be faithful to God is about being faithful to the planet God has given us, that we are to live responsibly and harmoniously and with respect for all of creation, and that the earth is God's, not ours. None of us really own the earth. We're simply passing through. It belongs to God. And therefore to all of us, not just some of us. Our Judeo-Christian scriptures remind us that we are to be caretakers of the earth, that we have exploited and raped the earth for our own purposes. We have fulfilled our mandate in Genesis 1, 26, 28 to have dominion over all creation and subdue it, but it has been to our peril, and we need to repent. We need to address the mistakes we have made and find a simpler way to live. In the movie WALL-E, the big industry that put people into space thought it would just take 5 years to clean up the trash on Earth, but then discovered that consumerism had made the world so uninhabitable that they could never go back. Now it's been 700 years of generations living in space, generations of humans that have never seen the earth. They have no idea what it looks like. And the robot Eve, which means life, has been sent out to test, to return to Earth to see if there are any signs of life on the planet. And Eve has returned with the help of WALL-E when WALL-E discovered one little green sprout pushing up through the soil in an old boot, which proves that the earth is healing itself and that after generations of humans living in a lazy and indulgent life on this spaceship, growing obese, lying in hovercrafts and distracted by computer screens, can now return to Earth to recolonize it. But it takes the robots and the humans all working together to create a whole new world.
For a drink of water. Just need someone to look after you, that's all. We have to go back. Otto, come down here.
Aye, aye, sir.
Otto, he found the plant. Fire up the holodetector.
Let not necessary, Captain. You may give it to me.
You know what? I should do it myself.
Captain. Sir, I insist you give me the plan.
Otto, get out of my way.
We cannot go home.
What are you talking about? Why not?
That is classified. Captain, give me the plan.
What do you mean classified? You don't keep secrets from the captain.
Give me the plan.
Tell me what's classified.
The plan.
Tell me, Otto. That's an order.
Aye, aye, sir.
Just cut it off, will you? Hey there, autopilots. Got some bad news. Operation Cleanup has, well, failed. Wouldn't you know, rising toxicity levels have made life unsustainable on Earth.
Unsustainable? What?
Darn it all, we're gonna have to cancel Operation Recolonize. So, just stay the course. Rather than try and fix this problem, it'll just be easier for everyone to remain in space.
Easier?
Mr. President.
I think, sir. Huh?
Time to go.
Okay, I'm giving override directive A113. Go to full autopilot, take control of everything, and do not return to Earth. Repeat, do not return to Earth. Let's get the heck out of here.
No, wait a minute. Computer, when was that message sent out to the Axiom?
Message received in the year 2110.
That's nearly 700 years ago. Otto, things have changed. We've got to go back.
Sir, orders are, do not return to Earth.
But life is sustainable now. Look at this plant, green and growing. It's living proof he was wrong.
Irrelevant, Captain.
What? It's completely relevant. Out there is our home. Home, Otto, and it's in trouble. I can't just sit here and do nothing. That's all I've ever done. That's all anyone in this blasted ship has ever done. Nothing!
On the Axiom, you will survive.
I don't want to survive! I want to live!
Must follow my directive.
Duh! Captain of the Axiom. We are going home today.
If we're going to give the Earth the opportunity to not just survive, but to truly live, as the captain of the ship points out, it's going to take four C's. It's going to take us caring. Caring about the Earth and one another, not living just for ourselves. It's going to take community. It's going to take all of us working together. No one person living in isolation can figure out solutions to these ginormous problems we have created. It's going to take creativity to find new solutions and create new economies. And it's going to take courage to make the changes we need to make. Caring, community, creativity, and courage. Here's an example of one group who is working to address the problem of plastics in the oceans called Four Oceans. It can be done.
We took a surf trip to the number one surf destination in the world, Bali, Indonesia. We saw something that would change our entire outlook on the ocean forever.
What we saw was a bunch of plastic washed up on the shoreline. I walked up to a lifeguard and said, "How come no one's doing anything to clean this plastic?" He responded with, "We clean it every morning. This is just what happens." By the afternoon, all the wind and tides would bring in more plastic. There was just so much.
We realized that there was a serious problem with the plastic pollution. And we saw fishermen pushing their boats through tons of plastic, only to come back with empty nets. and they were working all day. So we kind of saw this and asked them, how much money are you guys making for a living? They were not making that much money going out and catching fish, so we just kind of realized if we could shift the demand from paying them to go and catch fish to go out and get ocean plastic, that we could create a sustainable business model that would be both beneficial for Bali and Indonesia as well as the fishermen.
So Alex and I brought that idea with us back home and came up with this crazy idea where what if we can create an economy to have the fishermen shift gears from seafood to plastic? What if we can hire people and create jobs to collect plastic for a living? From that, we took the model of the fishermen weighing the fish per pound, and we decided to pay the locals per pound. And before you know it, 4Ocean was born.
Now, we've got captains and crews that are cleaning the ocean 7 days a week. We've operated out of 26 different countries, and to date, we've removed over 500,000 pounds of trash from the ocean. All of these cleanups are funded entirely through the sale of our bracelet.
The 4Ocean bracelet is made from 100% recycled materials. The glass beads are made from post-consumer recycled glass bottles, and the cord is made from 100% post-consumer recycled plastic water bottles.
4Ocean's mission is to educate and inspire individuals to work together for cleaner oceans, 1 pound at a time.
If two surfers going to on vacation to surf in Bali can change the world for the better, create employment, and do wonderful things for people, so can all of us. For Christmas, Rain gave bracelets to all of her family members. One bracelet from 4Oceans to support dolphins. One bracelet to support the oceans. One bracelet to support mangroves, trees that filter ocean water. One bracelet for the coral reef. And one bracelet for sea turtles. And one bracelet for the sharks. Instead of buying people gifts that will never destruct, like clothes, she cleaned up 6 pounds of plastic from the ocean and helped support jobs for fishermen in Bali who are now fishing for plastic. We really are in this together. We can make a difference in wonderful little ways all the time because they all add up to something big. At Knox, we have an amazing group of wise elders, and we have a wonderful opportunity for us to meet with international young people, 200 of them who come from all over the world. Wouldn't it be cool if we could gather at Knox and brainstorm solutions to the problems we have created worldwide? How incredible those conversations could be at bringing about change. We could help inspire the next generations from all over the world to do what the Judeo-Christian faith calls in Hebrew, tikkun olam, repair of the world. For that is our calling. That is our directive from the Creator. May it be so. Amen.